Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
So like Bulk said, God is able to do things beyond what we can see. That is his, that gives you his assurance based off what he has done. So really quickly, faith is just putting your confidence in God and being assured by the things that he has done that he'll get you through it.
That's good. So yeah. Faith is the just putting your confidence in God.
Right.
That sounds great, right? Let's just do that. Amen. Let's pray and we'll walk out.
We're done.
Just kidding. Now that's the thing, right? We want to put our confidence in God. But a lot of time we just have these different things that kind of occur in our lives or some things that pull us away. So that's what we're going to talk about, four different things that we think kill that faith, that kill us putting our confidence in God. Because at the end of the day, if we just actually put our confidence in God all the time, we'd be cool, right? So we want to practically talk about what are the different things that kill our faith. And to be honest, when we were kind of making a list of these things, well, we got like 30, 40 things. So these are just four of them. We're trying to sum up a lot of it. But we'll see, okay? So if you have other ones that kill your faith, you can talk about it in small groups later. But here's our four, okay? Number one, distraction, okay? Distraction. So I got on the scooter. Yesterday was my first day on the scooter. I was on crutches before. I tore my Achilles, so I'm out for a little bit. But I was crutching around for a little bit, and I just got on the scooter. And honestly, the scooter's kind of awesome, if I'm being totally honest. Especially when you go from crutches to a scooter, you can get a little bit excited because you're crutching, you're moving like 1 mile an hour, and then you get on the scooter and you can fly, bro. Like, I'm faster on this than I was before. But the thing is that I fell three times yesterday. It was rough, man. I was going to Blakely's, my little daughter's first little doctor's appointment, 2 month appointment. And I fell in the parking lot. I was going like literally probably 2 miles an hour, but I hit the curb and rolled over. And it's just a humiliating moment. Like, I'm laying there, a grown man sprawled out with my wife holding my baby. It's one of those moments just like, God, I need you so bad. So faith builder, fall, and you will need God. But actually after the third time, Kayla had to look me in my eyes and she said, hey, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. And if I'm honest, I think this is probably one of the ways that we can actually build our faith. Is I think we have so many distractions. We're so hurried. We're so rushed all the time. But if I could just tell you that, just slow down. I think a lot of time, most of my like one-on-one meetings when I'm talking with people and I'm like, hey man, how's your faith? Ah, bro, it's good. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray, but I'm just busy, right? How often is that our like thing that we say on why our faith is not strong? Because we are busy. And I know it. I was a student athlete. I get it. Like, you have so many things going on. Like, I get it, you're busy. But if I could say this, not to be rude, but at the end of the day, don't we always make time for the things that we love? Don't we always make time for the people that we love? We always do it. Like, there's always enough time. We can always make a little bit of time. And at the heart of our faith is relationship. At the heart of our faith is a relationship with God. It's just making time for the God who loves you and you're responding with love for him. Right. It's a relationship. And all I'm saying here is, it's what's crazy is the whole narrative of the Bible, Jesus came, they called him Emmanuel. Emmanuel is just what? God with us. The whole narrative of the story is just God wanting to be with us. Anytime there was fear in the Old Testament, he would just say, hey, be strong, be courageous, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. His heart is just to be with you. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is actually with you. Like, right now, he's with you. So now, more than you trying to ask God to come, it's just being aware that he's already here. And just creating space to say, God, I'm just going to create space that you're here right now. And if I could be really practical, I would just say, don't try to spend an hour. If you don't spend any time right now, go for 60 seconds a day. I promise you, it's like what Bolkin said, just give him a little bit and he'll continue to grow it and grow it and grow it. Give him 60 seconds tomorrow. Just say, 60 seconds, God, I'm just going to pray. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just creating space for you to come because you're here and you're here by the power of the Holy Spirit. So number one, faith killer, distraction. You beat it by just being present to God.
Amen. So with that being said, we're going to move to number two, and we chose shame.
Shame.
Shame. And that's like, you hear that word shame, you're like, yeah, I got a little bit of that. Yeah, I kind of feel that sometimes. And I like to break down a word. So shame is really just humiliation from something that you feel like you did wrong or something that you feel like you didn't do very good at. So if I'm performing for my coach and I did bad, you're going to feel shameful. You're going, dang. All right, I don't even feel like practicing today. I don't even want to do this. And what it does, it leads to a negative self-evaluation of yourself, which then leads to withdrawal. Yeah. And like Cam said, it's about being present with God. You withdraw from God's presence. And that's what shame leads you to do, withdrawing from God's presence. And there's a verse in Psalm 69. I want to pull it up on the screen real quick. In Psalm 69, 19 through 20, it says, David is speaking, and he's talking to God about his afflictions and what's going on with him. He says, you know my shame, scorn, and disgrace. You see all that my enemies are doing. Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn to me and comfort me, or would turn and comfort me. So David in this is saying, God, you know that I'm feeling shameful. You know this, that, and the other. But before he did anything, he said he went and look for if only one person would show comfort.
Wow.
If only one person. A lot of times we don't turn to the comforter to find comfort for our shame.
Wow.
A lot of times we go to the world, we go to our best friend, we go to our mamas and daddies, we go to our coach, we go to people who we think can give us the comfort that only can come from the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So really quick, boom, number two, shame.
Shame. Shame will kill your faith. So one, what was number one? I already forgot what it was.
Distraction.
Distraction. Distracted. That was funny, right? Come on. All right. Two, shame. Thanks. Three, this one might be a little different, familiarity. Okay? Number three, the thing that can kill your faith is familiarity. I don't know about you, but so the first time when I moved to Columbia like 3.5 years ago, I just followed God's call, a.k.a. my wife out here. But I moved out here, and I remember I was driving to the Matsy sometimes, and I remember the first, at Northern Colorado where I play basketball, our football stadium is like 3 bleachers and 2 lawn chairs, and everybody kind of posts up and drinks a lot. But that's how UNC was. So when I came here, I saw the stadium, and I was like, dang. That's awesome. Like, every time I drive by, I just be like, the stadium is so cool. And Monday, stadium's awesome. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But give me, like, 2 weeks, and I totally forgot the stadium was there, right? Like, you guys ever do that? You have, like, a place that you drive all the time, and eventually you look at it, and you're like, you don't even see it anymore, right? Scientists call this visual lethargy, okay? It means that it's when you've seen something so much. Amen, baby, I love you. It basically means that you've seen something so many times that you actually stop seeing it. Or you hear something so many times or say something so many times that you stop hearing it and saying it. It's this thing called visual lethargy. And there's this story in the Gospels of Jesus. He's going from one town to the next, just preaching the gospel and healing people and doing all kinds of amazing things. And he gets to what they call his hometown in Nazareth. And he gets there and he steps up to the synagogue and he starts to preach and he starts talking. And there's little these murmurs in the background. And everybody's kind of like, yo, isn't that Jesus? Like, that's the carpenter's son. Like, I know Jesus. I grew up with Jesus. Like, that's Joseph's brother. And they start to kind of talk like, I know that dude. Like, he was just fixing my stuff. And then it's crazy, though, because then Jesus says this. And if you want to go to that next, I think there's a verse on it. I'm going to read it. It says this, Mark chapter 6, verse 5. It's crazy. This is a crazy thing. Okay, it says this. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So bad day for Jesus. And he marveled because of their lack of faith or their unbelief. So what familiarity can do, when you're so familiar with who God is or what God is, or maybe you grew up hearing all the stories, that you hear it. I hear God loves me, but I don't really hear it. And it can kill your faith. Familiarity can kill your faith. Let me say one more thing. I read this book called The Power of Moments. And in this book, he talks about just all the big moments that we have in life. And he says one of the things that robs us of experiencing all that life has for us is what he calls the soul-sucking force of reasonableness. That's just powerful, right? The soul-sucking force or voice of reasonableness. And you know what it is. Like, you feel it. When I say it, you know that, like, moment when everything is amazing and you have this little twinge inside that's like, nah, it can't be that good. Or you have that thought of on an amazing Monday, Tuesday night that right now even you're thinking, ah, I got practice tomorrow. And it gets that little reasonableness inside of you. The crazy thing is that God is not reasonable, right? Yeah. That verse that Bolkin said, he can do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Some of our expectations of God, are the expectations of the people were, Jesus, he's a carpenter, bro. So he could do no great work there. We have to have high expectations of who God is. Don't become over familiar with who God is and what he can do and what he's done in your life, because there's so much more, exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask, think, or even dream up. Number three, familiarity. Amen. What you got, bro?
This last one, number four, hey, I don't know about y'all, but it's going to resonate even when I say it. We fake it. We fake it. We fake it before God. We fake it with our friends. We fake it with our coaches. It's that somebody asks you and you, how you doing today? I'm, oh, bro, I'm good. I'm straight. Or you know how we do. Oh, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. And you dying inside. Hmm. You literally have nothing else to go. You have nothing else to give, but you just won't be honest. You just won't be honest. We like to fake it a lot of times. And in a way, faking it could be prideful before God. So I want to pull up this verse. It's really becoming, if not one of my favorites, top three favorite verses that I've ever read. Hmm. And it's Mark 9, 23 through 24. And this is Jesus, right? He's coming off the mountain. He just did the transfiguration. So he had his three best friends up in there, and they seen him in all of his glory. And he came down to a father who had a son that was possessed. And then the father, seeing Jesus, ran to him, and he was basically asking, Jesus, can you heal my son? Can you cast a demon out? And all of this, Jesus said some things, and then the father said, well, I just want you to do it. I just want you to do it if you can. And I just pictured in my head, he clearly didn't know who he was talking to. Jesus, if you can. And I just see Jesus down here with the boy. He was on the ground. They used to throw him in convulsions. And Jesus looked up like, what do you mean if? Boy, come on, I'm the son of God. What you saying? He said, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. But what's crazy is what the father said, what his response was. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Hmm. He was honest with God. He literally told, he wasn't faking nothing. He said, God, I believe in you, but in this, help me believe it. Because I just can't believe that you can heal my son of this. I just can't believe it. And what did Jesus do? The verse is not up there, but Jesus went and cast the demon out of his son. Jesus didn't scorn him. Jesus didn't say, what you mean unbelief in me? Whoa, what did I just tell you? What do you mean? God didn't say that. He still did what the Father asked because he was honest before him. And I think a lot of times God don't want us to fake it. God don't want us to bring this facade to him. God wants us to take the mask off and come before him in all our shame, with all our distractions, with all our familiarity, and say, God, I just don't know, God. I don't believe that you can do this thing. But I know that you have all the power. You can do exceedingly abundantly more than I can expect, God. And I just want you to have this. Can you please help me with my unbelief, Father? Just like the Father did. And I think that's a really powerful thing, because a lot of times we're all in positions where you're in sport. You don't want to be looked at as weak. You don't want to be seen as I'm broken. You don't want anybody to see this. You want to be seen as this strong person. I can handle. I can do all these things. But deep down inside, we all have our weaknesses. And we all have things that we fall short at. But thank God for a Jesus who came down and sent us. Or God who came down and sent his son and gave us his Holy Spirit, which is the comforter. So we can be honest with him. Like Cam said, take 60 seconds. God, this is hard today. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if you can help me through it. But I know what your word says, and I'm going to be assured, based off Hebrews 11, I'm going to be assured in the things you can do because of what your word says. Even if I haven't seen it before, I know that you have done this in your word. Your word says this. I know that... I know that you can do these things, Father, and I'm going to rely on you.
That's good.
So Amen. The fourth one, faking it.
Faking it.
Could be a faith killer.
So again, there might be more that you have. These are just the four we had. We love it if you talk to your tables, but distraction, shame.
Familiarity.
I was freaking my own. Familiarity.
Faking it.
Don't fake it. If I could say one thing, your faith is going to waver. And the amazing thing is that 1 Timothy says that while we are faithless, and when our faith wavers, his never does.
Amen.
Okay, God is always faithful. And the crazy thing is we don't enter into a contract relationship with God. We enter into what he calls a covenant. And a covenant means no matter what you do, I will always hold up my end of the deal.
Amen.
That's the crazy thing about God, is no matter what you've done, he always holds up his end of the deal. That no matter how faithless you might feel right now, God is ever faithful. So we're going to throw up some discussion questions. We'd love if you guys would just talk for just a couple minutes, and then we'll pray us out of here. Sound good?